Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I saw it was Oregon State playing in the NCAA tournament. Opening rounds, Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas. Buzzer beating win, a lot of momentum and euphoria. And then, of course, the season and the tournament called off. NCAA tournament called off. Wayne Tinkle joining us. Thank you for that last game. That was an entertaining finish.
Yeah, I guess that had to be the last one. It was quite a way to go out, wasn't it? Thanks. Good to be with you, John.
Yeah, how does that, the abrupt end of this, was the end of your season and the end of college basketball, came after you guys won a game, you walked off winners, and then how strange has it been for you to not have anything and go this amount of time?
Well, it's been, frustrating, I have to be honest, just because we're so ingrained in habits as coaches and, from recruiting to working out our guys in the off season, putting in the plan, executing it, getting ready to build the next year's team, and have all that taken away. It's just, when you've done something for 19 years and have it taken away, it causes, lots of frustration, but we've had to learn to adapt, and this Zoom, I've been on more Zoom calls than I think I've ever been on even phone calls. We signed four kids this spring, two of which basically was via phone calls, Zoom calls, watching video, so that sometimes can make you a little bit uneasy. We really pride ourselves on getting to know, the prospects personally, but we feel very, very good about the young man we'll be bringing in. And it's just it's a new time, however long it goes. It may be temporary. We don't know, but we feel good about what the staff's done to find different ways to get things done.
Wayne Tinkle with us, Oregon State men's basketball coach. Let's talk about that recruiting, because it is a different process with, you guys having to evaluate and then also just try to connect with kids. But I guess the kids are going through that. The recruits are going through that with everybody. It's not just you that's limited to the Zoom calls and not being able to see somebody in person.
No, certainly. If you look from their perspective, I mean, they want to get on your campus. They want to see what it's all about. You look at us here at Oregon State, and there's some challenges where we're located, geographically, and we really feel that once we get the prospects on campus, it sets us apart because they get to see everything we have, meet the people that make Oregon State what it is, we missed out on that, and they missed out on that as well, but through FaceTime and some of those things, it's not the same as being in person, but, we were able to knock some of that out. And I think, you and I both know, and even kids, I think, learn over a period of time, they can listen to people and see, who's sincere and who's maybe blowing smoke. And, we felt like we got through that process fairly quickly, but, you feel for them because they're either coming to campus or you're going to their homes to do in-home visits or they're being evaluated. We missed the spring non-scholastic and we'll miss June and July as well. That whole process, I really feel for the 2021 class that may lose out, on that summer AAU where they really get that last chance to get out and impress and have fun with their teammates, hopefully something in August or maybe early September. But a lot of people have had to make sacrifices, but we've all got to find a way to stay together and just forge ahead.
One of the things that, I had high school parents just to that point reach out to me and say, look, my kid, who didn't get a chance to have his senior year, won't get to play AAU. He'll be recruited or maybe not recruited just based on that junior season. Is that an opportunity for programs that have been better at evaluating or maybe having to project, all right, you know, we're not getting a five-star kid, but we want to get a kid who's going to develop? I mean, are programs like that going to thrive amid this, or how challenging is it for you to look at a kid and not be able to see the last year of his competition?
Well, I think what it's going to do, John, is it's going to cause a lot of imbalance. I think there's going to be kids that maybe sign over their heads. I think there's going to be some that maybe are under recruited and undervalued. But you know, the whole thing with the transfer portal, I don't know if we're going to get into that, but I think it's going to all come out in the wash. You know, I think it's going to be a little bit of a struggle here for the short term, but then everything seems to, you know, come out in the wash in the end, so to speak. But I do feel for him. You know, I feel for him that opportunity. And, you know, it was nice of the NCAA to allow at least the college seniors to come back. But, you know, I do feel for the seniors in high school that missed out on those opportunities. They missed out on proms, on dances. It's really fun to kind of see how creative people have gotten with, you know, birthday parades or prom parades, graduation parades that are going to happen. But that's life, right? And that's what I think one of my comments was when asked, you know, should our basketball players be allowed to come back, you know, the seniors? And, you know, you just, life's tough. You're throwing curveballs. You've got to really find a way to deal with the adversity. And it's neat to see how communities have kind of rallied around that.
We're talking to Wayne Tinkle, Oregon State men's basketball coach. Eric Revenue, former University of Portland coach, is sort of championed an idea to give players Election Day, November 3rd, off so that they can vote, get involved, understand their civic duty, maybe educate themselves on the issue. That's getting momentum. Where do you stand on that? Would you be in favor of giving your team that November 3rd date off?
Yeah, I think that's a great move. I really do. I don't think the youth of today, and I'm not going to paint everybody with that brush, but a lot of them don't understand that right to vote and the impact from it. So I think that's a great call. But also the other side of the coin is, you know, we've been allowed to vote. And, you know, I don't think just putting certain people in office is the answer to a lot of the things we're dealing with. I really think it starts with the individual instead of putting, you know, all of our faith into those that are elected. That's a big piece of it for sure. But I really think it starts with the individual. If we're going to make change, everybody has to really sincerely look at themselves in the mirror, change, you know, their attitudes and, you know, their mindsets. And then I think that momentum, which we're hopefully seeing, you know, is building. And then it will lead to our elected officials, you know, that are going to continue to champion, you know, the cause that we're all setting,
you know,
individually.
I think it's interesting because, you know, you're in charge of your program. You know, Dana Altman's in charge of his program, and, you know, Bobby Hurley's in charge of his program. The NABC is going to make an announcement shortly that will strongly encourage coaches to do it. But I think you guys, you've already kind of decided, haven't you, if you're gonna give that day off or not.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's great if they mandate it, but, you know, I think it's to each individual and what they believe is important and how they prioritize things. But, you know, Eric's point was, hey, we celebrate a lot of other holidays. You know, this one's so crucial to the foundation of our country and to our future. You know, I totally understand that. It would be interesting to see if they can, you know, if they can actually mandate something like that as opposed to, hey, let's just all agree this is a great thing, and let's make it happen. So, you know, I'm supportive of it. It's all about education. And, you know, we talked to our players individually and collectively, you know, in the last, you know, weeks. And I think the big thing is, you know, hey, moving forward, we talk about our deal is more than just basketball, and it is. But I think now we've got to take it to another level moving forward. And you know, that's a big piece of it.
Wayne Tinkle with us. Those conversations that you're having, you know, you coach a sport where the majority of the players playing men's college basketball are African American. So you are, I think, in a unique position. I think we all are in our own way in a unique position. But what have those conversations been like for you as you listen and sort of take the temperature on what's going on in the country within your own locker room?
Well, the big thing is the positivity that seems to be coming from it. You know, to a person, you know, we've talked about how, you know, there seems to be momentum for change, that there's more people that are not of color stepping up, you know, and standing side by side, you know, asking for change, demanding change. And I think they understand, and even though they're young, they haven't seen that kind of momentum. And so that's given real hope to everybody, which obviously is very positive, and it's a great start. And then the challenge now is to continue that momentum moving forward. Don't let it subside.
This upcoming season's important. I mean, in so many ways, I think we're all going to be curious to see how you deal with coronavirus. What does that look like in the stands? What kind of conversations are you guys having, and who are you looking at? Are you looking at the NBA, Major League Baseball, college football? Where's the litmus test going to be where you can kind of gather what it will look like for you?
Well, I think professional sport gets going first. You know, I know baseball has reached some agreement. The NBA now, the vote was, I believe, 29-1 in favor of the new season structure. So whoever gets it going first will sort of set the model. And then, you know, I know the NCAA looks up to the professional ranks, you know, for some leadership. And even though it's different, each sport has sort of different agendas, but I think that will be, like you said, the good litmus test. I know, you know, Coach Rupp has studied, who's on our staff, Australian rules football and the model they put in. I think they've been going at it now for a few weeks without, you know, any sort of increase, you know, in the virus. And we're going to try to bring some of those ideas to our athletic department. But our medical staff has been hard at it. They've already got some rules laid out for when we get the green light to bring everybody back. And we'll go from there. I think it's such a fluid situation, John, that we're going to have to adapt on the move. You know, and if there are some cases that pop up, they've already know how we're going to respond to that. But I know the sooner, and obviously we want to be very conscious of the health, but the sooner that we can get those things going, it's going to create a lot of positivity, which obviously we really are in desperate need for, you know, in these times.
All right, there's one element of this that I think is going to be tricky, and maybe it applies more to basketball than football. But if, you know, today we had 5 Alabama football players who tested positive. They were just out on a field together, kind of working out on their own. And they, you know, get a positive test. Their identities have not been made public. I wonder how you feel about this. If you had a player on your team that tested positive, there's so much with student privacy that you can't already talk about. Will that be something that you think should be public? Like, should everybody know, hey, you know, Wayne Tinkle's shooting guard is tested positive? Or how will that be handled, do you think?
It's a good question. I'm not sure, because you do have, you know, if a guy sprains his ankle, everybody knows about it going into a game. So I don't know when you know, this is a health issue, obviously a performance issue, you know, that it wouldn't be made public. I think it's, like you said, everything else, we're going to have to learn with how we deal with that. Obviously, if you've got as many people that are following and watching, it's not going to remain private for very long. But it does bring up some real concern. And I know that we've already spoken to our players that when we do reconvene, the importance of following the rules that are set forth so that we can enjoy the benefit of working out in the off season and having them here. And if it's abused, I think that privilege is going to be taken from us. So we've made that very concrete and clear. You know, we're rule followers anyway, but with this in particular, we've got to really make sure we're following the guidelines that are laid out for us.
Now, you know, one of the questions that came in as you were talking about November 3rd and voting was, you know, hey, Oregon is a mail-in ballot state. Are you still in favor of that day off? Is it about more than just casting a vote? And I know some of the players probably have residency maybe in other states, especially if they're brand new. And so how do you navigate that? What should November 3rd really be about?
Well, I think it's really going to be about making your voice heard. And whether that be in person or mail-in ballot, but using your right. And if everybody looks that, you know, we have a phrase in our locker room, it starts with one. And it could be one possession, one loose ball, one charge, you know, one assist to a teammate that really gets the momentum going. And that's what I believe that we're, you know, you look at life and what we're going through, the same thing comes true. So one vote. You know, and I know that was a catchphrase years ago, but get out, use your right to exercise, you know, your voice making a difference, and that's what we'll say to our guys.
How will this team look? You know, you got a roster that's in transition. Certainly, it was fun to see your kid play, but it's going to be a new brand of Oregon State basketball. What do you see on the roster?
I'm really excited. I mean, you know, when you get into, you know, what were, you know, the details like of coaching father, son, and all of that. And, you know, quite frankly, there was some negativity with recruiting and, you know, people not allowing, you know, guys to look at our program. But I think the ones that were really tough enough to understand the level of players they were, you know, wanted to be a part of it. But I'm excited about the pieces we've added to what's going to be, you know, a pretty experienced group coming back. And we've added talent and skill and athleticism at each position we recruited. So we'll be, I believe, the deepest that we've been. And, you know, I look at, you know, Maurice Kalou, who started at Oklahoma State, 6'9", true play away, inside out, you know, four-man, you know, to – we've got Tariq Silver, who's a shooter, shot at 46%, started out at Eastern Michigan and then went to Tallahassee Junior College. Tough, hard-nosed defender, but can stretch the floor. Those two guys right there, you know, they're not your typical junior college players. I was asked this by another media person, you know, you guys loaded up on junior college players, but really two of them started out at four-year school, so they know what it's like to be at a four-year institution and all of those things. We've added maturity along with what I mentioned earlier. So across the board, then, you know, you look at the three main guys coming back in Alfred Hollins, Ethan Thompson, and Zach Reichel, guys that have logged a lot of minutes, and then the Gianni Hunts and Jared Lucas, De'Aaron Tucker, who really came on late in the season, Roman Silva. You know, we feel really good across the board, and we've got high-character kids that are hungry. They were disappointed when the season was taken away from them, and they've all, you know, made a pact to kind of use that motivation moving forward to continue the momentum that we finished with.
The negative recruiting, was it just, hey, you don't want to go there, he's not going to give opportunities, look, the coach's sons are all playing there, were you just getting hit with that?
Yeah, I mean, all over the board, and it wasn't a ton, but we heard it, you know, from some people, you know, well, you know, whether it's AAU coaches and, you know, wait a few years, but by and large, you know, it was positive. They knew what, you know, the Stevie Thompsons and Trace and Ethan, what the character that they had. But it's the mindset of it's got to be all about me. And quite frankly, we weren't disappointed to not have players like that or be involved with, you know, players like that. We wanted guys that saw opportunity to come to an incredible place, be a part of something special that we were building. And, you know, obviously – year three was really tough with all the injuries, and I think that really had a little bit of a lasting effect. But, you know, we've rebounded from that and feel like, you know, we're in great shape moving forward. And, again, really excited about the group we have. It is going to be different. You said different. It's going to be we've got size, we've got athleticism, skill and talent at every position. And it's going to be a really fun group to coach.
Coach, thank you for making time for us. I really appreciate you, and I will catch you around the way.
Always good to be with you, my man. Be safe and stay in touch.
You too. There's Wayne Tinkle, Oregon State men's basketball coach. Big season ahead. It's always a big season, right? Another big season ahead. Our big splash is ahead. Leave it here. Hunted Audio is the best sound from all around. It's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll talk to Nick Daschle, who covers Oregon State football, about a disappointing and disgusting audio tape that emerged late yesterday. Jonathan Smith, the football coach there at Oregon State, dealt with it. We'll talk about whether he got it right coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. But for now, it's our big splash. We got some news on that front.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
But be
the big splash.
Well, the NBA is returning to play. 22 teams will return to play, but one team didn't vote for the plan. The Blazers didn't. Reports are out, and we have some insight into why the Blazers said no. They voted no because the franchise believed that there were more competitive and innovative formats on the table. There you have it. Blazers eager to resume.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.